Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here this another gorgeous morning that the Lord has blessed us with to be alive. Before we start, I do have a note I want to read from our sister Haley, who has been sick and had an operation. Haley says, "Thanks to everyone for their prayers, phone calls, visits, and the delicious fruit basket. They were greatly appreciated. I'm going to try to stay out of the operation room. Again, thanks." Thank you, Haley, and your prayers, our prayers were always with you. And it is good to see all the children here this morning, and Susan, you and Tamara continue to bring those kids. There's nothing more beautiful than a preacher to look out and see little kids and hear them sing. It is always an honor and a privilege for me to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that I love to do more than anything in the world. This morning I want to talk to you about our glory of hope. Our glory of hope. Some things of value can be held in our hands, but some of the greatest blessings are in the heart. These blessings are not tangible, but they enrich life more than the things that we can see and touch. Our hope of glory is one of those precious, intangible blessings. This hope is available to every person because of the grace and the eternal purpose of God, which He purposed in and through Christ Jesus. To know the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ is to taste of that which adds most to this life by giving us hope and being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The risen Lord brought life and immortality to light. The gospel story is good news for man for this life and the one that is to come. Degradation, shame, and ruin come to the one who sows to the flesh. But the man who sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Christians know this from their study of the sacred writings so that they can depend on the strong anchor of hope. Hope saves. Hope leads one to purify his life and abides with man along with his faith and love. Hope, faith, and love, these three make up the more excellent way. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is the greatest sacrifice ever made by anyone, and it was made for men who were yet in their sins. This, brethren and friends, is amazing grace. Amazing grace. And I'm going to ask our brother Bill if he would close our lesson today with Amazing Grace, a beautiful song. When Christ came into this world, He gave Himself to purchase the church with His own blood. The Father and the Son are one in their interest in man's salvation. Christ tasted death for every man and invited everyone, all who would come to the great feast of the spiritual blessings that we may have in Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ lived as a meek and a lowly man, and in doing so, He left us an example. His suffering and death confirmed His love for us, and as He paid the price for our redemption and became the propitiation for our sins. He became poor that we might become rich. He was wounded for our transgressions. He shed His blood so that God might be just and at the same time the justifier of sinners. Any hope of glory that we have is in and through Christ. He is now our advocate with the Father, and He ever lives to make intercession with us. Our hope of glory is strengthened by our meditation upon the fact that we have a great high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. My friends, the work of the Lord did not end at His cross. God has ordained that He judge the world in righteousness when the dead shall be raised. The great gift of eternal life with all the indescribable blessings are not ours at this time, but we do have that hope of glory. Look with me, if you would, at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It seems strange that anyone would argue that he now has eternal life, which the Scriptures mention. There remains a rest for the people of God that we have not received, but we have already have a foretaste of that rest. We have not received the incorruptible inheritance, but we are children of God and heirs with Christ. We now have a measure of peace, glory, joy, salvation, and hope in our faith that works through love. We are now called by the gospel and justified by faith. Those who are called and justified are glorified. It is not a glorious privilege. Is it not a glorious privilege to be a child and heir of God? What a privilege that is. Now, Paul warned the Corinthians that the unrighteous would not inherit the kingdom of God. He told the saints that had formerly been thieves and fornicators and drunkards that they were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were not in heaven in the final and wonderful state of glory, but that which they had received was a glorious blessing. When penitent believers are baptized, they are saved. Their sins are remitted. They are forgiven. Their sins are washed away. This hope of glory, or the hope of eternal life, is not a vain hope, my friends. The exceeding great and precious promises are made by one who cannot lie. His message to us has been confirmed, and those who listen to His word with reverence have good reason to have strong faith. The Bible will bear investigation. Unbelievers do not study His Word, and those who do not study His Word are unbelievers. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Having sure and steadfast hope makes one rich towards God. What treasure could add more joy now than to have the precious faith in Christ as the Son of God and to look for His glorious appearing? Those without God and without hope in this world have only the loaves and the fishes. They are to be pitied. We all need this stabilizing hope, or anchor of hope in the storms of life. While the hope of God, of the glory, is of great value, the glory itself will, of course, be much more value. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. This is a hope that will be fulfilled because Christ is risen from the dead, and many worthy witnesses testify and confirm this fact. Look with me at John, the 14th chapter, please. John 14, verses 2 and 3, when you get there. Jesus said in verse 2 of John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ showed himself alive to the apostles and gave them power to demonstrate that they were ambassadors who were speaking for God. They believed their own message and they risked their lives to tell it. They gave this hope to tens of thousands of people who live closest to the original evidence. We may believe these witnesses and hope with those thousands of early disciples. Paul said, he asked this question, "If we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it?" Romans 8:25. Not only do we wait patiently for the fruition of this hope, but we diligently seek it. Come with me to Romans chapter 2, please. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." As he waits for repentance, God is long-suffering towards us, but contention and disobedience show up in many. Tribulation and wrath will face them at the judgment. Glory, honor, peace, and immortality are all included in the eternal life mentioned here for those who seek by doing the will of the Father in heaven. He will render to every man according to his deeds, and there is no respect of persons with him. Followers of John Calvin and all the rest of us should give much more thought to this passage from the Word of God. No man buys heaven, but he does obey or disobey God. It is impossible to serve God and mammon, so none should try. And with all of our essential seeking and obeying, eternal life is still a gift. Remember what Paul told the Romans in Romans 6:23 when he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord." Look with me, if you will, at Luke the 17th chapter for a moment. One of my favorite passages and one we should really contemplate. Luke, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." When we've done everything the Lord asks us to do and commands us to do, we've only done what we're supposed to do. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are all listed as fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And they are a pleasant foretaste of the more wonderful home which we call heaven. The peace and the other good things found on this present tree are beyond the understanding of the children of disobedience. A world with joy rather than frustration, love rather than hate, gentleness rather than bitterness, and goodness rather than moral rottenness would be heavenly in nature. It would be good for us to read together 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Listen now. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." What a beautiful passage. The wonderful love of God has much in store for us, brethren. The wonderful love of God has much in store for us. We cannot now understand or comprehend the glory, the honor, and the peace which he has to offer, but we can rejoice and give thanks in our hope. When one is filled with an awareness of these treasures and with a strong faith to make them real, he will purify his life as he seeks to please the Father by walking in the steps of Jesus. Those who love him will keep his commandments. Now please look with me at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let's read verse 26 through 29. The Bible says in verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are now children of God, and we are given a beautiful description of the inheritance that has been laid up for us. But we groan in this body as others do. There's even added suffering because of the persecution that Christians must face. The faith that makes us realize that we are children of God and heirs of the promise brings 100-fold more in this life with persecution than others have to enjoy. We are blessed along with the suffering in this life, and we have the promise of the life that is to come. Even in the face of the most bitter trials, we have reason to rejoice, to be exceedingly glad as we think of the glory that is to come. It is a serious mistake, brethren, a serious mistake to think that becoming a Christian will cause all men to speak well of us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Luke 6:26. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. There was joy set before the Christ that helped him endure the cross and the shame of that the mob sought to bring upon him. Following his example, we are to verse 1, "Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? Could it be that the joy set before Christ was that he might become our hope of glory? Could that be? Could it be that the joy set before Christ that he might become our hope of joy? In reading of the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see a wonderful word picture of what faith in Christ Jesus and the hope of glory that such faith brings can do to a man. Paul was stoned. He was beaten. He was in prison. He fled cities at night to save his life, and there were mobs who tried to kill him. Yet he never turned back from his decision to follow Christ. What did he see in the future? Would it be more than compensate for all his losses? He saw something that he called the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. He, as well as Simon Peter, knew by faith that there is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. That's what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. Let me ask you, what did Paul's hope do to his fear of death? What did his hope do to his fear of death? It completely destroyed it. His hope completely destroyed his fear of death. He hoped that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or by death. Look what he wrote in verse 21 of Philippians chapter 1. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Down verse 23. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." When the final decision had been made at Rome at the time of his departure was at hand, he wrote of it as calmly as if he was just going to Ephesus. Quickly turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul called the reserved inheritance, or the prize of the high calling, verse 8, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Isn't that a beautiful statement? How wonderful it is to be able to say that. Come with me now to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 is one of my favorite pictures of heaven. It's found in Revelation 21. In verse 4 of Revelation 21, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now John was able to see it in a vision and to write of it. Now skip down to verse 9. "An angel said, 'Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." The remaining verses of this chapter and the first of the next continue the description of this city. God tells us all that our minds cannot comprehend and lets us know that there's even more that we're not able to understand at this time. It will be better over there than it is here, brethren. It will be better over there than it is here. Just as a farmer can cultivate his corn, we can cultivate hope. We can set our affections on things above, and we can lay up treasures in heaven. Where our treasures is, there our hearts will be also. Therefore, let us remember to seek for glory, honor, and immortality. We tend to busy ourselves with the trivial things in this life, those things which will perish with the using. Thinking on things that are true and pure and lovely will both enrich our lives on earth and prepare us for the life to come. We can let our light shine now so that men will see our patience continuous in good works and glorify God. We can cause them to hunger and thirst after righteousness if the hope beams in our faces. So let us be up and doing. The harvest is white, but there are very few laborers in comparison with the amount of work that needs to be done. Those who have learned about this great city and the great invitation to come within its portals must work to pass on the invitation to others. Our zeal or lack of it, our good deeds or evil, our true love for the unfortunate or our selfish attitudes are the outgrowth of our hope of glory or our lack of it. It is true that faith comes from hearing the word of God. It is also true that much improvement comes in this life of the man who is converted from unbelief to faithful discipleship. I think of the Samaritans, the joy of the Samaritans. To watch the Ethiopian go on his way rejoicing. To see the Philippian jailer rejoice with all of his family. And to read of the new converts in Jerusalem as they ate their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Faith brings hope, and hope is an effective anchor for the soul. One of the most cruel things that man could do would be give his fellow man false hope of the incorruptible inheritance. Some never purify their hearts by obeying the truth because they are told that obedience is unnecessary. They are told that salvation is by faith only. The Bible does not teach that. It is the obedience to the faith that counts, that Paul speaks of in Romans 1:5. The obedience to the faith. Repentance and baptism are stressed along with faith. One has certainly missed the way if he is never baptized into Christ in whom we have redemption. Hope of glory is precious, but it will be sad for a lost man to learn too late that this hope was in vain. Turn with me to one final passage. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 11, we read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." We can hope through Christ, who desires that we be pure and zealous people who are peculiarly his and who are willing to help others by teaching, exhorting, and rebuking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 27, he says, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ is the hope of glory to all them that obey Him. Brethren and friends, there's nothing more that I can add to this lesson except to say, let us all look forward to His glorious appearing. That is our hope of glory. His coming will be a great day for His jewels. If we can help anyone this morning become a Christian, we beg you to come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. And brethren, that is your hope of glory. That is your hope of glory. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, please take advantage of this opportunity this morning, because you may not get another opportunity. None of us have an assurance that we're even going to live through this day. Please come forward and let us help you if we can, as we stand and as we sing. Our brother Bill.